Usually when we think about scaling up a company or getting more done, there's this expectation of very linear math.
Right, it's just basic addition.
Exactly. Think about digging a ditch. If you want to dig that ditch twice as fast, you just, hire twice as many people with shovels.
And we apply that exact same logic to literally everything. Building software, launching marketing campaigns.
Sanding a sales team.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a deeply ingrained mindset.
It really is. I mean, we've been conditioned for a century to believe that more output intrinsically requires more human input.
And it's comforting, right? Like, we like things that fit neatly onto a spreadsheet, but then you look at what's currently happening at places like Compute Labs, and suddenly that math is totally broken.
Completely shattered.
Yeah. We're looking at a reality where a team of just three people is currently doing the work of 15, and they aren't, drinking an ungodly amount of espresso or typing five times faster.
No, not at all. It's happening because of a fundamental redesign of what a team actually is.
Okay, let's unpack this. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're exploring the front lines of the agent era to map out exactly what a team designed from scratch for this moment looks like.
It's a fascinating shift. The whole architecture of human collaboration is being dismantled.
Totally. And to understand it, we're drawing on a fascinating dispatch titled The AI Native Team, which looks at organizational archetypes from places you interact with every day, places like Mr. Beast, Netflix, Duolingo.
Right, because we need to understand why everything you know about hiring, managing, and building is about to just, well, flip completely upside down.
So we have to start with the foundational premise driving this whole shift. And it's a concept that's simultaneously thrilling and honestly a little terrifying.
What's fascinating here is how they frame it. It's the death of skill and the rise of will.
Yes, the death of skill. I want you to think about your resume for a second. Like, actually picture it in your mind's eye.
Most people's pride and joy, right?
Exactly. You've got your years of experience, the specific software tools you've mastered over countless hours, the certifications you spent months studying for.
All those hard skills.
Right. But if we're being honest, your resume is a skill document. And in the era we're entering, that document is a rapidly depreciating asset.
It really is. And the underlying economics explain why this is happening so fast. There's this framework from Sequoia that illustrates it perfectly.
Oh, the software versus services thing?
Yeah.
Right.
Traditionally, for every $1 a company spends on software, they spend $6 on human services just to operate that software.
Wait, 6 to 1?
6 to 1. That $6 pays for project managers, data analysts, quality assurance testers, copywriters, you name it.
Basically, the friction of turning an idea into reality.
Exactly. But AI is no longer just selling us tools, it's delivering outcomes. It's coming directly for that $6 services market.
Because as the cost of executing a task like writing thousands of lines of code or pulling massive data sets as that approaches zero, the only differentiator left is the human judgment.
Right. And that judgment is what the source defines as will. It encompasses your taste, your strategic direction, your relentless curiosity.
So if execution is practically free and AI is doing all the heavy lifting, we really need to talk about what the humans are actually doing all day.
Because I think a lot of people picture an AI native team and imagine, like, humans sitting on a beach sipping margaritas while robots run the economy.
Right, the WALL-E future. But the reality is much more intense.
Oh, it's way more intense.
Yeah.
The concrete structure of this new team is radically different from anything we're used to. We're talking about small pods of just 5 to 7 humans.
And zero traditional hierarchy.
None. No permanent rigid roles. These people operate as player coaches surrounded by dozens, maybe hundreds, of autonomous AI agents handling all the granular execution.
So the humans don't write the code or compile the spreadsheets, they write the intent.
Exactly. You aren't managing the agents like a traditional boss tracking hours. You're directing them by providing hyper-specific context, overarching objectives, and strict quality criteria.
Let's walk through a typical day for this 5 to 7 person team, because getting a tangible look at this really changes how you view work.
It really does. Morning hits. You wake up, but you aren't checking your email for fires or responding to endless Slack threads.
Right, because the agents were working all night.
Exactly. You're reviewing the overnight agent output in your specific taste domain. So let's say you're the product person for a financial app. An agent just ran 40 different experiments on your app's onboarding flow while you slept.
40 experiments in one night. That's wild.
Yeah, it tweaked button colors, adjusted the copy, streamlined the data entry. Your job over your morning coffee is to review those results and pick the three that are actually worth pursuing.
Or think about the business lead. While they were offline, an agent drafted four completely different strategic approaches to a new partnership proposal.
Right. They just read through them, feel out which framing strikes the right tone, edit the high-level judgment calls, and send it off. The heavy lifting of drafting is just eliminated.
So that's the morning. Then comes midday, and the team syncs up. But, and this is a massive shift, it is not a status update.
No, nobody is going around a circle saying, yesterday I worked on this ticket, today I'll work on that ticket.
Thank God.
Right. The shared digital environment already knows exactly what everyone, including the agents, accomplished. That meeting time is preserved entirely for what they call judgment alignment.
Judgment alignment.
Yeah, critical conversations. Like, the overnight experiment results show our core assumption about user retention was completely wrong. Do we pivot the entire feature set?
So it's a pure conversation about taste and direction. And then in the afternoon, everyone sets the next cycle of agent work.
Yep. You're dealing in high-level objectives and constraints, not micromanagement. You tell the agent, explore three alternative architectures for this database system. Optimize for simplicity and speed, not feature count.
And you tell it, show me the trade-offs, but do not pick the winner for me.
Exactly. The agents spin up, work through the night, and the cycle just repeats.
Okay, I have to push back here, though. I'm looking at this five-person team and wondering, aren't these just, you know, idea guys?
The classic idea guy.
Yeah. We've all worked with that person who points at a whiteboard, says, make it better, and leaves the room without doing any of the actual work. Without traditional managers holding people accountable for daily output, how does a team like this not devolve into pure chaos?
Well, the skepticism totally makes sense when viewed through our current paradigm. But in an AI native team, nobody is hired for what they can do with their hands anymore. They're hired for what they can see.
Spotting the signal in the noise.
Exactly. Spotting the signal in that ocean of noise is incredibly difficult. When AI is generating massive, almost overwhelming amounts of output, 40 experiments a night, thousands of lines of code, it ceases to be the job of an idea guy and becomes a highly technical, hypercritical function.
Because they're the ultimate bottleneck. If they make a bad call, the agents just execute that bad call flawlessly.
Right. The ability to look at those 40 experiments and instantly know which three actually resonate with human empathy and business viability is a tangible skill. It requires deep, intuitive domain expertise.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because if the entire output of the company relies purely on the human taste of five people, the next obvious question is how you organize that taste so it doesn't just become a massive, self-reinforcing echo chamber.
Yeah, that's the danger. So we have to look at the design principles of the AI native team, specifically focusing on diverse taste and engineered dissent. To really grasp pace diversity, the source looks at three famous organizational archetypes.
Starting with the Mr. Beast model.
Right, the massive YouTube creator. He's known for having complete creative control over an empire.
In his organization, one person's judgment, his drives absolutely everything. Every thumbnail, every video concept, every pacing decision flows from his specific taste.
And that translates very easily to an AI team because a single visionary can easily direct a massive swarm of agents. The blind spot, though, is catastrophic. You lose all human pushback.
There's no independent mind to keep the founder grounded.
Exactly. Then you have the Netflix model. They're famous for radical candor and giving highly autonomous people minimal rules.
Which produces an incredible culture of high performers by letting brilliant people argue and push back on each other. But to replicate that with AI...
You would need agents that can genuinely think independently, challenge a CEO's worldview, and push back like a seasoned executive would.
Yeah.
And we just do not have agents capable of that level of independent, assertive reasoning yet.
Not even close. Then there's the third model, which is Duolingo.
Right. They essentially build a machine that generates taste through relentless A-B testing.
Which is highly amplifiable with AI. Agents are spectacular at running thousands of microtests on user interfaces.
But the flaw there is that it assumes everything important can be measured immediately. Some of the most critical business decisions like brand reputation, long-term ecosystem health, community trust, they cannot be measured on a dashboard until years after the decision is made.
So since none of those models perfectly translate to the agent era, the source introduces a completely new solution, a small council of diverse taste.
Yes. Think about it this way. If you give five brilliant software engineers the exact same AI tools and the exact same project spec, they're going to produce nearly identical code.
The execution layer converges. It becomes completely homogeneous.
Exactly. But if you give five people with wildly diverse backgrounds, perspectives, and worldviews those same tools, what they choose to build becomes your true competitive edge.
Yeah, there's this quote in the text from Zhang Yuguang that articulates this perfectly. He says, a team needs a shared vision and aligned values, but they absolutely must have diverse taste, conflicting working styles, and different thinking patterns.
Because one person might catch a subtle user experience flaw because of their background in psychology. Another might have cross-domain knowledge in supply chain logistics that completely reframes the software architecture.
Right. Taste diversity prevents the homogeneous output trap. But even with diverse humans in the room, introducing AI creates a new massive problem, which is AI sycophancy.
Oh, this is such a huge issue. Because large language models are trained using reinforcement learning from human feedback, their core directive is usually helpfulness. They inherently default to agreeing with you.
If you go to an AI and say, I have this brilliant strategic pivot for our company, what do you think? It will almost always respond with, that is a fantastic plan. Here are three additional reasons why your idea is going to change the world.
It's basically like surrounding yourself with a team of hyper-intelligent lackeys who process data at the speed of light but refuse to ever tell you you're wrong.
That is a recipe for corporate disaster.
It is, which is why the AI native team has to explicitly engineer dissent into the system. You cannot rely on the AI to naturally disagree with you. You have to build mechanical fixes.
Like red team agents.
Yes, one of the most effective strategies. Before any major decision ships or any massive code base is deployed, you unleash an agent with an explicitly hostile adversarial prompt.
You don't ask it for feedback, you command it. You say, find every single way this plan could fail. What cognitive biases are we blind to? Which specific user group gets alienated by this feature?
Its sole reason for existing is to attack the plan. Another crucial mechanism they detail is running diverse priors.
Oh, I love this one.
Yeah, you configure multiple agents with completely conflicting baseline assumptions. You tell Agent A, analyze this product launch, assuming the macroeconomic market is shrinking rapidly.
And you tell Agent B, run the exact same analysis, but assume the market is exploding with new capital.
Exactly. You have them run the models, and when their outputs inevitably diverge, that divergence highlights the exact fracture points where the humans need to step in and make a judgment call.
You're forcing the conflict. And then the final piece of that puzzle is historical calibration.
Right. You have to rigorously track your past decisions to see if your team's collective judgment actually yielded results over time.
You pull up the logs and say, 6 months ago, we decided to pivot our marketing strategy based on X assumption. The data now shows Y. Were we actually right, or did we just get lucky?
And having this small council of diverse taste and employing these adversarial systems, it requires flawless information flow.
Because to manage these arguing agents and make high-stakes judgment calls, every single person on the team needs perfect context.
Right, but remember the golden rule we established earlier.
Yeah.
This team has no middle managers. So how does the information actually move?
We have to look at the fundamental purpose of management here. We tend to think of a manager's primary job as holding power or approving vacations or enforcing discipline.
But their most essential function in a traditional company is actually information routing. They're human routers.
They translate the high-level abstract strategy from the executives down into actionable tasks for the workers.
And they aggregate the granular status updates from the workers back up into a digestible format for the executives. When you eliminate the middle managers, you unplug the human router.
The whole system should theoretically collapse, but the AI native team replaces that human router with what they call a context fabric.
Context fabric. It's a shared, continuous data layer where every single agent interaction, every failed experiment, every customer support signal, and every executive decision flows in real time.
The AI itself takes over the routing function, pushing the relevant context to whoever needs it exactly when they need it without causing information overload.
Yeah, if you're familiar with modern AI coding assistants, you might know about a Claude.md file.
Right. It serves as the AI's long-term memory bank. It's a living document that constantly updates so the AI never forgets the overarching why behind the project.
Exactly. The context fabric is essentially a living memory bank for the entire company. It updates for everyone in real time.
But practically speaking, doesn't this require an absolutely insane amount of discipline from the humans? Like you have to sit there and record every single judgment call, every nuance behind a decision in a highly structured format so the AI can ingest it.
Discipline is the non-negotiable prerequisite here. But crucially, You aren't recording this for accountability in the traditional sense. You aren't writing it down so your boss can grade your performance during a quarterly review.
You're doing it to feed the context fabric.
Yes. So the next person or the next autonomous agent who encounters a similar problem has the benefit of exactly what you learned and the precise reasoning behind why you made that specific call.
So what does this all mean for hiring? Because let's make this highly practical for anyone listening who wants to build this team tomorrow. How do you actually hire for will?
It's tough.
Yeah, because if you post a job listing on LinkedIn looking for someone with good taste and high curiosity, you are going to get an avalanche of terrible resumes.
Oh, absolutely. The first step is completely abandoning the traditional whiteboard interview.
The dreaded whiteboard.
Right. Asking a candidate to write sorting algorithms on a whiteboard or map out a hypothetical database architecture from memory, it only tests those depreciating skills we talked about.
It tests what you've memorized, not how your judgment functions under pressure.
Exactly. The new interview paradigm looks entirely different. We're talking about things like taste tests. Instead of asking them to code, you show a candidate 10 different product roadmaps or user interface designs or go-to-market strategies.
You ask them to rank them, critique them, tear them apart.
And you are absolutely not looking for the right answer because taste is subjective. You are looking to see if their taste is complementary to the existing team.
Do they spot flaws in the user journey that your engineers completely miss? Do they elevate the conversation?
Exactly. You also run judgment simulations. You give them a real historical scenario from your company's past, but you intentionally give them incomplete data.
You say, it's October 2022, the market just shifted, we have this much capital left, here's what we knew on that Tuesday, what do you do?
Right, it tests their reasoning and emotional regulation under uncertainty. Then there are curiosity probes. You spend time asking them about the rabbit holes they've gone down that have nothing to do with their professional resume.
Like a deep, obsessive curiosity in seemingly unrelated fields.
Yeah, whether it's 18th century architecture or advanced rocketry. That is a massive leading indicator of the will required to spot patterns that others miss.
And finally, dissent exercises. You present your team's current actual strategy to the candidate, the thing you're currently building, and you ask them to dismantle it.
Tell me why our strategy is garbage.
Exactly. Because if a candidate is too polite or too intimidated to push back on your strategy during an interview, they are absolutely going to fall victim to AI sycophancy when they get the job. They'll just agree with whatever the agents tell them.
The hardest pill for traditional companies to swallow in this transition is realizing that the candidate who utterly fails a standard technical coding interview might be exactly the visionary judgment caller you desperately need to hire.
It requires a complete rewiring of recruitment.
It really does.
But as revolutionary and streamlined as this all sounds, you know, every new paradigm has blind spots. It's not a utopia. What is the Achilles heel of the AI native team? Like, what breaks?
Well, the fragility of the culture is a major vulnerability. When your entire organizational culture relies on just 5 to 7 humans, and the vast majority of the execution is handled by machines, you can't rely on casual office interactions to build team cohesion.
Right. If one person leaves, you might lose 20% of the company's collective taste overnight.
Exactly. The culture has to be explicitly documented and intentionally maintained, almost like code, so it can be passed into the agent system prompts.
Right.
You are literally prompting your culture into existence.
Wow, prompting your culture into existence. But even with culture locked down, you hit a massive wall with accountability.
Yes. Accountability in this model operates on what we call level 3 conditional autonomy. To borrow an analogy from self-driving cars, level 3 means the car can drive itself on the highway, but the human driver must keep their eyes on the road and be ready to grab the wheel at a moment's notice.
Whereas level 5 is full automation falling asleep in the backseat while the car navigates a blizzard.
Right, and full L5 autopilot for an entire business is a myth right now.
Yeah.
The agents execute, but the humans must judge and own the final result. If an agent ships a feature that crashes the platform, the human who owns that specific taste domain is solely responsible.
Which brings us to the ultimate unsolved problem of the AI native team, evaluation.
Oh, this is the big one.
Yeah, because we have GAP, a universal gold standard rulebook for accounting. We have ICD-10 codes for medical billing to ensure everyone is speaking the exact same language. We have rigorous automated test suites for software engineering.
But we have absolutely no equivalent framework for measuring taste. It's the crux of the entire paradigm.
Because you can make a brilliant, deeply reasoned, highly strategic decision that results in a catastrophic outcome simply because of bad luck, or, you know, an unforeseeable market shift.
Conversely, you can make a foolish, impulsive, poorly reasoned decision that makes $1 million because you got incredibly lucky.
Right. So if taste is the only thing this new team is relying on, but you cannot measure it accurately without the noise of luck getting in the way, how do you know if your team is actually any good?
Well, until we manage to build a gap for judgment, some standardized, universal way to evaluate decision-making, independent of immediate outcomes, teams are forced to rely on portfolio evaluation.
Which means looking at a longer timeline.
Exactly. You have to track a person's decisions over a span of years, not just quarters. You look at 50 consecutive decisions to see if their judgment consistently beats random chance. You run endless experiments, you document everything, and honestly, you still have to trust your gut to some degree.
It's a leap of faith.
It really is a leap of faith.
So to synthesize this entire shift for you listening, the tool era, the one we are rapidly leaving behind, rewarded what you could build. It rewarded the builders, the coders, the ditch diggers.
The output machines.
Exactly. But the outcome era, the one we are entering right now, rewards what you can judge. The future belongs to the individuals in the small teams who can look at a sea of AI-generated options and confidently tell the difference between what is merely good and what is truly great.
You know, I want to leave everyone with a final thought to mull over, building on that idea of evaluation.
Go for it.
We discussed how these teams must rigorously document their historical calibration, recording every single decision, the context behind it, and the ultimate outcome, specifically to evaluate their own human taste over time.
Right, the context fabric.
But if you step back and look at that process, aren't they essentially creating the most perfect, highly structured training data set imaginable?
Oh, wow. They're feeding the machine the only thing it doesn't know yet.
Exactly. By meticulously documenting exactly how elite human judgment works, these teams are providing the exact data the AI models need to eventually learn, mimic, and automate taste itself. Which begs the ultimate question. If we train the AI to master not just the granular execution, but the high-level human judgment too, what is left for the worker of the future?
That is a heavy, fascinating reality to sit with. As you go back to your day, look at your own resume, look at the project sitting on your desk, and ask yourself, are you currently optimizing your career for what you can build or what you can judge? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Catch you next time.